All right, if you will, this morning, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Let me read this verse. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your blessings. Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for this lady, Rahab. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless our lives today as we look at this picture in the Word of God and see exactly where we need to be in our life. And God, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Isn't that something? In Hebrews chapter 11, I believe we call it the faith chapter, account of heroes who believed by faith. And if you will, just look down in that Bible, there's Abraham. Oh man, Abraham is by faith, it says in verse 17, by faith Abraham. On down it says in verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. 21, by faith Jacob. What a list of men in the Word of God. By faith Joseph. We know the story of Joseph. By faith Moses in verse 23. Led the people out of Egypt. And then it says in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab. Now, isn't that kind of strange? The harlot Rahab. In Joshua chapter 2, you find a very interesting story about this woman called Rahab. She was a harlot who, upon a day, received two spies into her house, and her house was on the wall of Jericho, and she received them there, and she hid them in her house when they come to arrest them, and they escaped. And she is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 after all of these men, great men of faith. And if you look on down, she was listed before Samson and David and Samuel, all great men of God, and yet they do not say a whole lot about them, but they say, by faith, the harlot Rahab. And I'm thinking, how did someone like Rahab come from a harlot or shame? Let's just say shame. To fame, where she's listed with these great men of faith. If you turn back in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2, she made a statement about her faith. In verse 9 of chapter 2, it says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She's talking to these two spies that have come to her house, and they are about to be captured, and she hides them. And she says, I know about the Lord and how he's given you this land and the terror that has fallen upon us. They were all afraid of these children of God that's coming into the land. And all the inhabitants of the land, they faint because of you. And she says, we have heard about how the Lord, talking about their Lord, God himself, has dried up the Red Sea. We've heard about what has happened to the Amorites. And our hearts literally melted. Our hearts have just melted because your God, he is God. He's the God of heaven above and the earth beneath. Your God is the true and living God. And she believed that. Now, before we get into the message today, there's some things I want us to see. God's salvation. God's salvation reaches to the vilest people. Don't think today because you're here and you've committed some great sin that you cannot be saved. You can be saved today. All you have to do is what we're going to talk about in just a moment. I always like to talk about how great God is because my God is the God of salvation. He's the God that provided for salvation. God uses people with blemishes in their lives, people like Rahab that we might not even consider, but yet God has placed her in this wonderful chapter of faith along lines of people like Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Right there, among all these great men, you find this prostitute, Rahab. To most, she was considered worthless in life. She was a nobody in life. She was helpless by herself, and she was completely hopeless. She was a castaway from society altogether. Yet God, in His sovereignty, chooses people with blemishes in their life, people that we might consider, oh man, you'll never make it. Yet God takes that person, God saves that person, He lifts them up out of that miry clay, He sets them on a solid rock, someone like Paul we talked about already. Oh, Paul, a murderer, threatening the Christian, and yet God calls him and sets him up, and he's one of the greatest men of faith in the New Testament, probably is. Folks, it seems to me that God delights in using people we just kind of write off. Have you ever thought about that? God's got a real good sense of humor, doesn't he? We take people and just write them off, and God says, oh, no, no, they're not too bad. I can save them. I can make something out of their life. So if you're here this morning and you think you're too bad for God to save, don't worry about it, because God can take your life, He can save your life, and He can use you in ways that you never dreamed of. You know, God is a merciful God. Now, how did this woman get from Rahab the harlot to the Hall of Faith? Well, I'm going to tell you. She was convinced of the Word of God. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you will, over to Joshua. Now, what book of that? I don't know. Right after Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 2. That's over in the, you start at the front, and it won't take you long to get there. Joshua chapter 2. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. See, that's real easy. Brother Bill, what number is that? You know why he does that every Sunday morning? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Those little children are learning. And some of us are learning too. Well, you know it or not, when he says Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, they're thinking Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And one day they'll be able to say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, right on down the line, because they've learned it right here in the auditorium in front of all y'all. Joshua chapter 2, verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, listen. How did she hear? I don't know how she heard, but they didn't probably have a newspaper anyhow, but word travels fast. And they have heard the word of God and what God is doing among the children of Israel. And she had heard somewhere about how God was the Lord God. She'd heard all about that in a portion of the word. She had heard about Pharaoh. The Egyptian army was one of the greatest armies and chariots and horsemen there ever was. And yet we heard about how God destroyed them for y'all. We heard that y'all were in front of the Red Sea and that God just opened it up and y'all went through on dry ground. And we heard as Pharaoh came after you, those waters closed back over and wiped him out. We've heard about the pillar of fire that guided y'all by night and the cloud of God by day. We've heard how you went through the wilderness and how God has fed you with manna and gave you water to drink. We've heard that. And she said, you know what? I am convinced that your God is God. You see, she heard the word about God, and she was convinced in her heart. You know, this first step about salvation is hearing the word. How can a man accept God unless he hears the word and by faith trusts God? He's convicted of it. She was convicted of the word of God. It was powerful. Anytime the word of God is preached, the Bible says it's the powerful word of God. Paul said it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. It accomplishes what God sends it to do. And right here this morning, I believe some of you might be sitting here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Oh, you've come to church. You may have your name on a church roll, but you've never really trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, we put everything before God. God says, I want you to put me first in your life. And that's what the Word of God, Isaiah 55, verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish. God's word will accomplish that which he pleases. And the word of God spread out across the nations. And as it spread, she says, you know, our hearts just fainted because of you. Oh, we heard about how tremendous a God you serve, how powerful a God you serve. And our hearts, man, we don't know what to do. And she said, I am convinced of that. Can you imagine how that just went out across the land? Those caravans of people started talking about, oh, you know what happened to Pharaoh's army? Pharaoh's army was just wiped out. All those chariots. You know, Egypt's not very big anymore. God destroyed them. And here's this harlot living in Jericho. Her house would probably be the last place you'd think the word of God would be in, but yet the word of God goes everywhere. It travels everywhere. And she says, we've heard, and our hearts lost their courage. Over in Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Boy, it's able to divide the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of those thoughts and what our hearts believe. Oh, the Rahab harlot heard God's word, and she was convinced that God is the true God, and that's how a person is saved. You hear the word of God, and you are convinced that, yes, the word of God is true. It's just what it says I am. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I realized that in my life. I realized that I was unsaved. I realized I needed a Savior. Christ was the Savior. And you know, one day I said, Lord, I want you as my Lord and Savior. And I stepped out and I came down and I shook the preacher's hand and I said, listen, I want to confess Jesus Christ before this church. I want to be saved. He is the one true God. There's no other way to be saved but by Jesus Christ. Now, our society and our world will say, oh, don't worry about it. You live a good life. You're going to get to heaven sooner or later. Everybody goes there. Don't you know that? That is not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, narrow is the road, and wide is the road that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way to Christ, and few find it. Listen, if you're going to come, Jesus says, I am the way. There's no other way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And if you're here this morning, you can be like the harlot Rahab. You can come to trust Christ. You can come out of the shame of sin and the muck and the mire of sin and come into eternal life if you convince, if the Word of God will convince you that He is the true God. Not only that she was convinced by the Spirit, she was convicted. She was convicted in her heart. Now, what is conviction? I believe conviction is being convinced and troubled about the way we live, you see. She was convicted. Hey, I'm a sinner. I'm a harlot. I'm the vilest. I'm unclean. I need God in my life. You see, the Word of God, she heard it, and the Spirit of God convicted her heart that she needed a life-changing experience. They go hand in hand. When we are convinced that God is the true God, we are convicted in our heart that we are sinners. Then we can trust God as Lord and Savior. Paul said this, for the gospel came not in word only, but also in the power and of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times we get all tripped up on the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I must go away. He was going to heaven, going back up to heaven to be with His Father, sit at His right hand. But He said, don't worry. I'm going to send my Spirit, the Comforter, with you. And He will be with you. And He will guide you. And He will teach you. He will convict you. Now, the Holy Spirit, whether you know it or not, is here this morning. And He's touching you at the point of your need in your life right now. He's convicting you. I've heard people go out the back door and say, preacher, boy, you were really reading my mail this morning. Well, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something. I want to say, why didn't you listen to it? Why didn't you come down? Why didn't you get on your knees before God and get that right before God? See, when you feel like I'm reading your mail, you just say, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. And Lord, I want to be forgiven of that sin or whatever it might be separating you from God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It convicts. And she was convicted of the Lord. It's kind of like a policeman. You know, a policeman goes out and he captures a bad guy. He puts those handcuffs on him and he brings him back to the jailhouse. Well, the Holy Spirit is God's policeman. He comes down, He convicts us, He arrests us, and brings us to a saving knowledge of God. John 16, 8 through 11 says, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, He says, because they believed not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father's house and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The old devil. The Bible says the devil is the prince of this world. And he's guilty. You know what? Don't blame God for everything that happens in your life. You know, people always blame God, don't they? Why did God let this happen to me? Well, it could have been the devil. The old devil doesn't like you. He wants to ruin your marriage. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to ruin your family. And he wants to lock you up in chains in a pit called hell. To suffer with him. You know? And if he gets his way and he steals that word of God from you this morning, like those, the word was sowed and it didn't do nothing. The birds came along and plucked it up. Man, the old devil's going to try to steal it any way he can. I've watched people under conviction, they couldn't wait to get out of here. Why? Because the old devil was working on them too. They didn't want to give up that sinful life. We've heard the word. She said, we've heard what God has done. We've heard about God. If you look in your Bible, you'll see the word of God. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever or whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? I do. I've seen how God has changed my life. Oh, I'm not perfect yet. And I won't be perfect till God calls me home. Oh, but he's still working on me. We used to sing a little song. He's still working on me. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not perfect yet, but he's still working on me. And I'm glad he is. The Spirit says, that's me. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I never will forget the day I was saved. I was convicted of that. You know what? I went to church all my life. I was lost in church. Man, I did everything church people did. I did more. Man, I was working in church when I was 8 years old, but I was doing something. But you know what? Working in church doesn't make you saved. I was just as lost in church as I was lost out there in the world. And the Lord convicted of me of that. And he showed me that. And when he showed me that, I said, Lord, that's me. I'm convinced that you are God, and I'm convinced that I'm, or convicted that I'm a sinner. In Acts 2:37, it says, now when they heard this, what? The word of God. When they heard about the word of God, old Peter was preaching, and 3,000 people were saved that day. The Bible says, when they heard this, what Peter had just said in Acts 2:37, of Jesus Christ. He was preaching Christ, how he came into the world to save sinners. And yet the world rejected him, and the world crucified him, and the world buried him, and God raised him up on the third day. Peter says, when they heard this, oh, they were pricked in their heart. They were stung. Have you ever been stung? They were stung in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? Paul said, the Roman prisoner guard said, what shall we do to be saved? Man, that's what we ask ourselves. Lord, what do you want us to do? Believe on me, he says. Put your faith in me. Trust me as your Lord and Savior. That's what I want you to do. Live for me. You know, when Paul preached to Felix in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, the Bible says Paul reasoned with him about righteousness, about temperance, about judgment to come. And the Bible says this old man named Felix, he was trembled in his body. Man, he was convinced, or he's convicted in his body. Just like Rahab, she trembled. He trembled. He was convicted. But he told Paul, he said, listen, Paul, go away. Get out of here. When it's more convenient, when it's more convenient, he says, I'll call for you. In other words, he said, Paul, on another day when it's a little more convenient, maybe I'll trust Christ then. But you know what? He never did, as far as we know. And he's lost today. He's in a place called hell today because he rejected the word of God. I wonder what would happen if he'd have said, Paul, you know what? I believe what you're saying is true. I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. I wonder if he would have been in chapter 11 of Hebrews, right after Rahab. Come out of the shame into the fame of chapter 11. Believing on God. There's an old man called Agrippa in chapter 26 of Acts 28. The Bible says he heard the word of God and he said, you know what, Paul? Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost, but not quite. Almost don't get you into heaven. You may be sitting here this morning and you're saying, preacher, you know what? I have heard you preach on salvation. I've heard you preach about Christ. I've heard about his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, I know that that's right. And I'm almost decided to come give my life to him, but I don't think so today. Well, let me tell you something. Almost is not good enough. It's not being there, is it? I almost went to the grocery store the other day, but I didn't. Are you saved this morning? Some of you are here and the Holy Spirit is convicting you. Like Rahab, I need to make a decision. I need to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Some of you are saying, Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do this morning? And the Holy Spirit is saying, come to me. Come to me. Some of you are saying, go away. Go away. Not today. Some of you are saying, oh, I'm almost ready, but not quite. Well, let me tell you something. Rahab the harlot came from the shame of being a prostitute to the fame of being a Christian because she repented in her life and she believed what God had done, and by faith she trusted God when she had the opportunity. I believe if she would have hesitated and said, no, not today, we wouldn't read about her in chapter 11 of Hebrews. You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tonight, not this evening, but right now is the time. You see? If you go away from here today and you say, some other time, I'll come. It may never come. Because you can't get saved any old time you want to. Only with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he's convicting you, you need to come today and get your life right. Not only was she convinced and convicted, verse 18, Rahab was covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now the story goes, in the Old Testament, she hid them on the top of her house under some corn, some shucks and things that was there. And the soldiers came in looking and they said, have you seen these two guys? And she said, no, I haven't seen them. And she'd hid them up on the house. And they went through the house, searching the house, looking for them. They didn't find anybody. They left. She went up and got them and she said, you know, would you remember me when you come into the city? And she let him down by a scarlet rope. And they said, listen, when we come into, start marching around Jericho, if you'll hang this rope in the window, when the soldiers come, they won't do you any harm. Nor will your family if they'll come into the house. Your house shall be saved. Just like Bill said about the guard, you and your house shall be saved. You see, they mean by their faith in Christ they'll be saved. You can't just belong to a house and be saved, but if they'll come into Christ, and by faith coming into Christ, they knew they had to believe in the Word. You know, in the Old Testament, it's like the Passover. When God came that night to kill every firstborn, he says, if you will take the blood of an innocent lamb and sprinkle it on the doorpost overhead, who shall ever come into your house will be left alive. That scarlet rope is a picture of the blood of Jesus. You see, it's that scarlet thread of redemption through the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a picture of Christ and the blood that he shed for us. If you will come under the blood of Jesus, your sins will be covered. Isn't that wonderful to know that I can come to Christ and claim the blood of Jesus Christ over my sins, and God says, I will forgive you. I will cleanse you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Talking about the blood of Jesus. Everyone in Egypt died because they didn't go into the house. Those lived that went in under the blood. In Rahab's family, everyone. And you know what? The soldiers just didn't come in. The walls fell flat when they marched around those cities. Man, the power of God. Yet, I'm told, they excavated the old city wall, old walls, and the place of her house did not fall. I wonder why. God saved her. And he put her in chapter 11 of Hebrews, you see. She lived and was truly saved and went from the hall of shame to the hall of fame because she was convinced of the Word of God. Let me ask you, are you convinced this morning that God is the Lord God? There's no one greater or ever will be greater than He. Are you convicted by the Spirit that He is the way of salvation? There's no other way except through Him. Are you covered by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning? He said, I gave my life on the cross of Calvary that you might have life. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to simply by faith say, yes, I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord. I am convicted that I am a sinner and I need to be saved this morning. I didn't say you was a member of a church. I said you're convicted that you are a sinner, you see. And I want to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you'll do that and you'll come down and just tell me, preacher, by faith I'm trusting Christ this morning and I'm confessing it before this church that I have trusted Christ. I want to trust Christ this morning. You know, that's what I did. I got up that morning, and when the preacher gave the altar call, I'd been in church all my life. People thought, you know, I don't know what Booney's doing. He's probably going down there to confess that he did something wrong. I told the preacher, I said, preacher, I said, listen, I am a sinner. I need to get saved this morning. He said, well, you've been coming to church all your life. I said, yeah, I know that. Well, you know what? You're a Sunday school superintendent. I know that. You know, you're working with the RAs and GAs, and you're their Sunday school teacher. I know that. I also know, preacher, that I'm lost. The Holy Spirit convicted me of that, and I want to be saved this morning, and I want to be baptized. I want to tell the world that I have been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I was saved the moment I stepped out by faith and trusted Jesus Christ. He's still working on me. Praise God for that. Would you do that this morning? If you've been convinced, if you've been convicted, you need to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. It says, if the seed sown, it will not return unto me void. And Lord, we claim right now that the Word is there. Lord, that people might come, make the decision that you've led them to make today. But don't let them go out of here lost. And we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you